Praise God. I want to just start out with remembering what Josh prayed when he asked the Lord that we recall the simplicity that there is in the gospel, in the Word of God, and that we should not make things complicated because God really wants to simplify the truth that he shares with us. It should not be hard. It should be easy, especially for those who are born of the Spirit. Amen to that. This morning, I want to teach you about some aspect of the Holy Spirit that is necessary for today and certainly necessary for the world. It has to do with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So I'm going to read a few scriptures to you. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 5, it says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.'" So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I just read the rest of this, starting with, "I will show wonders in the heavens." Much of that is allegory. It's symbolism. It doesn't really mean that there'll be fire. We have to understand the flower and the use of examples and illustrations that are throughout the Old Testament as well as the New, because that's the way people spoke. But let me concentrate on a couple of things. The answer for the problems of both that exist in the church, because some of these exist in the church, of which I will speak, and most of these things that I'm going to speak about exist in the world, and that the answer to deal with them is in the Spirit. And what I'm talking about are the affairs that are going on right now, where we see all types of racism and other issues dividing the world and dividing the church. I want to speak to this. First of all, I want to declare to you the wisdom of God, as he says in verse 5. "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven." The Lord is no dummy. He picked Pentecost for a reason. Pentecost was a festival in which the men of Israel were called to assemble themselves in Jerusalem. Three times a year, these festivals occurred, and men were called to come to Jerusalem. So therefore, Jews of all the nations of the world were coming to Jerusalem for the purpose of celebrating Pentecost. Now, when the Lord says all flesh, he doesn't mean every human being. He means all types of flesh, all the different races, the blacks, the whites, the yellows. People came from Northern Africa. They came from Asia. They came from Europe. So they are all types of people, people with blue eyes and blonde hair, people with curly hair and dark skin. They represented all the races that were possible. And God said, I'll pour my spirit upon all these people, all of them, indiscriminately. I will make no discrimination. I have no racism in my heart. The first thing we need to understand is that God brought all these people together to pour his spirit on, to demonstrate that he's calling people to the unity that he intended for them, and that there should be no racism. Because God eliminated racism by making all people equal bearers of his spirit, first and foremost. And that is what we need again today. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to really make us one again, so that the divisions that exist between races, even the very subtle differences and divisions that keep us from one another, could be eliminated. And through, first of all, the church, there would be a demonstration to the world of what oneness is really like. Then what follows are five other points from the prophecy, first of all, of Joel. This was coming to pass. This prophecy was coming to pass. That's the first thing I want you to know. That prophecy does come to pass. And the things that God has revealed to the prophets of old who did not walk in the prophecies that they delivered do come to pass in our lives. Second, by pouring out his spirit on all these people, he demonstrated that sons and daughters would have this power of the Spirit upon them, which means there is gender equality. How much disturbance do we have in this world because of the fighting, the struggle, the competition between sexes? I hate to see people struggle over women power or men power or any attempt to raise one sex above the other, because God created both of them and there is no discrimination with God. He poured his spirit upon all genders. And I'm not talking about the genders that the world is making up, but the genders that God made. Men and women, equal. Not only is there equality between men and women, there's also equality in women and men in ministry. He says that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That means that women can be in ministry. I don't see that there is any problem with women being in ministry. The ministry problem was solved on the day of Pentecost. And people who like to struggle over these issues, and especially those who wish to keep women down, must read the very simple truth that God is no respecter of gender, but all men and women are equal before him and can minister. Then there is age. He says, your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. That means that there is no discrimination between young and old, that the ages are blended together in ministry, that young people can participate and that old men and women can participate, and that there is no distinction bearing on us regardless of age. Those, we look at youth as too young to minister, and sometimes we look at the elderly as too old to minister. The reality is, all of us are able. The Holy Spirit makes us equal. I recall one time when I was going through a very difficult phase in my life, and I was hurting. My body was hurting, my mind was struggling, and I recall being in the bedroom and Andrea called the boys to come and pray with her over me. And so they came. I don't know if you remember this, honey. They came into the bedroom and they started to pray. And Jay and Luke were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And they were praying in tongues. And Andrea's praying in tongues and English and everything. And they were asking God to give me help and to provide answers. And Luke, who I think was about 5 or 6, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but he said, "Dad, you're angry because some things have not worked out." 5 or 6 years old, he got a word of wisdom for me, a word of knowledge. And he said, "You have to ask God to forgive you for being angry that things haven't worked out." It was the solution to my dilemma. It was my healing. He was just a little guy, but he heard the word of the Lord. Praise God. Then God says this, "And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So what God is also bringing to equality is class distinction. That there is no distinction in classes. Look, there are places in the world that still separate men and women from each other by class. You take what goes on in India today, and people are born in classes, and they cannot rise out of their class without certain things taking place. And so there is a prejudice that exists, but there's no prejudice in God, even among classes. So what have we got? We've got class equality, age equality, ministry equality, gender equality, and no racism. All by one act of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In one fell swoop, God provides an answer, a healing, a deliverance, a solution for man's troubles. These things existed. All this racism and all this inequality among people existed way back. It's always been here. And with one outpouring of his Spirit, God solved that problem. And that is still the answer for today. The answer in the church and the answer in the world. And that's the end of my message for today. We need an outpouring of God's Spirit. Because God, by his Spirit, brings conviction. We don't need to tell people to stop being racist. If the Spirit of God falls upon them, he will tell them to stop being racist. Because we will see our brothers and our sisters of all different colors in a new way, in an equal way, and all the other things we talked about and shared in this short scripture. That's the solution right now. So I want to pray for two elements. First of all, for the church, that the presence of the Holy Spirit, right now, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the holy name of Jesus, that your presence here upon us and upon your whole church, all of your people, will rise up and begin to reveal to us any form of discrimination that we have practiced, any thoughts in our lives of differences between men and women and between races and colors, and our feelings and thoughts that we might have about people who seem to be of lower class, that we treat everybody equally, that there be none of the discrimination that has existed in us and that still exists in the world. We ask you, God, for a fresh anointing of your Spirit upon us to reveal that, so that we would repent and become clean and pure in our thought life and in our relationships with one another, that we see each other in the eyes of the Lord and through his thought life, that we'd see equality in each of us. And what we would see instead of the distinctions that we have made according to class or color, we would now see the value and purpose of one another. We would welcome the differences that you have made in us and how special we are. We would see the beauty in one another. We'd see the value in one another and the esteem that we should give to one another. That we are made beautiful in the sight of the Lord. and that he has made his spirit possible for all men and all flesh and all women, that we could be really one in so many strong ways that we make a difference in this world. And secondly, Lord, we pray for the world. Jesus said, I do not pray for the world. I pray for those that you have given me. And I understand that, but we pray this, that you would pour your spirit upon all flesh again, that there would be an outpouring, an awakening, a reviving, that you would come and visit this lost nation, these lost people, these people in darkness, these people who struggle with vanity and pride and arrogance and ignorance and all the hatred that they have in their hearts and all the wishes for demise and pain that they have in their hearts towards one another. God, pour your spirit upon all flesh again. Do it now, dear God. Do it in your time, but do it soon. We ask this in your holy name. And all of us could say, amen. And if any of you have right now thoughts, inclinations, ideas, witnesses of the Holy Spirit, would you please add them to this prayer, and that we might say amen to those things as well. We ask this, Lord, we need a revival. We need a revival. We need a revival. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you heal us of denominationalism by your Spirit. That all the differences that we hold in our hearts, that we belong to this group that believe this way versus your group that believe that way. Bring healing. You can do that. We don't have the answers without you.
I just want to share a quick verse and some encouragement along with it. That regardless of everything going on in the world that we see and the affairs of the world around us, I want to encourage and remind you in Luke 10, verse 2, where Jesus is praying, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Mm-hmm. That is, as much hurt as we see out in the world, this was true then, and it's true now that the harvest is plentiful.
Yes.
There are people out there seeking for truth, wanting truth.
Yes.
And Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and we have that. Mm-hmm. So be a laborer for Christ.
Amen.
So, Lord, we pray that you would send laborers mm-hmm. into your harvest. Mm-hmm. For you tell us that it is plentiful, God. Mm-hmm. So let us not be discouraged with what is going on and think we need to just shelter ourselves in place. But Lord, that we would be active for you, that we would be laborers for you, Lord. Amen. So Lord, we ask that you send laborers Amen. To gather Amen. Your harvest.
Amen. Amen. And Lord, further, I agree with this, and I pray too that you forgive us for our missed opportunities, for any carelessness and indifference that we have towards those who are lost. Forgive us for that, God, because often you have given us the opportunities and we have failed. Do not let our hearts get cold towards the lost. Deliver us from that so that we are prepared laborers, ready all the time to give an answer to every man that asks regarding the hope that is within us. There are people who are looking for answers. And the gospel is the answer. And eliminate from our minds that we don't know what to say or how to go about it. The Lord will give us the answers to that. He'll give us what to say and how to go about it if we will present ourselves to him as laborers in the harvest. Those who struggled with that question, in Jesus' name, be healed of it. Amen. During this time, we see persecution rising against the church. Attempts to force the church to teach things that Christ did not tell us to teach, or that the scriptures do not condone, and in fact may tell us differently. So we see the pressure and the persecution beginning to show up on us. And God's answer was very simple. In chapter 8 of Acts, it says that Saul was consenting to his death. That was to the death of Stephen, who was preaching. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they, meaning the disciples, all the believers, were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. That means that the believers went everywhere preaching the gospel. As the persecution arose, there was an increase of the anointing on the disciples to go everywhere and preach the gospel. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Quite the opposite of what a lot of people would think. Much of the increase of the gospel in the first century was done not by a few people who were called evangelists or apostles, but by the average Christian of the day. And therefore, at that time, the gospel was preached in the entire world because the disciples went everywhere preaching it. We have a world right here that still needs the gospel. God help us. Go everywhere, preach the gospel. I think it was, I could be mistaken, D.L. Moody, who said something along the lines of this. Something along the lines of, I do as much good as I can everywhere I am, with everyone I'm with all that I am. That wherever we go, we are prepared. It is a moment that we have to recognize that the person that we might be engaging with is ripe for the harvest. We've got to think that way. Can we repent of our carelessness? I think God is calling us to do that. I feel it. I feel that God wants to clean us of our indifference and laziness and carelessness about the lost. Can we repent of that? Will you ask God to forgive you? I'm serious. All of us. We've overlooked so many people. It's serious. Forgive us, Lord. I mean it. Lord, forgive me. And forgive us for our excuses that we make. Again, I come back to what Josh said early this morning in prayer, that everything can be made simple by the Lord, the truths and our actions. There is simplicity in the gospel. I recall so many times people telling me 53 years ago, they would say to me, "You need Jesus." That was their preaching. Of course, it went deeper, but the initial concept was that all men need Jesus. And somehow we can make that message clear and simple. Jesus is the answer for men and women for their lives. Take away our fears, God. Deliver us.
We started the service this morning talking about simplicity of the gospel, and the pastor then later on encouraged us in the to overcome the discrimination and all that stuff that's going on in the world. And I think one way of culminating on putting those two issues together is to understand that, as Paul said, that we are enslaved to sin. If you open up our eyes, that slavery is obviously one of the worst discrimination that they can have in the world. But if we can open up the eyes of the world that they're literally slaves to sin, that God's not interested in just whacking his fingers and telling them what they're doing wrong, but they were actually enslaved to the sin, that the sin is what controls their life. And that's about as simple as you can get as far as the simplicity of the gospel. I know early on in my walk that opened my eyes, that I saw God differently. I didn't see him no longer as somebody who just, you know, was like a strict father who just says, you can't do this, you can't do it. But when my eyes were opened to the fact that I was being set free, literally being set free from sin, because sin is keep you down. We know that. And my prayer this morning is that part of our simple gospel into the world is that we have to get through to the world that the worst discrimination, the worst slavery that they encounter is the slavery of their own sins that keeps them from the freedom that God really wants them to have. So, Father, I just want to continue to pray, Father, in the line of what we've been praying this morning, Father, to give us a simple way, Father, just to tell the truth into the world, Lord God. And there is more ways than what I talked about this morning, but it has to include, Lord God, that you wanted to see your creation being set free, Lord, that we were enslaved because of our sin, Lord God. Help us with that, Lord God. Help us with this simple word. Let us not be afraid, Lord God, to even bring it up. And bring up the name of Jesus. Even again, Lord God, a very simple message, Lord God, that the life of Jesus, just because of his word, Lord God. We sang about the one word, Jesus, this morning, Lord God. And that by itself is as simple as you can get, Lord God, and set us free, Father, from the sin that really enslaves us, Father. I just pray, Father, that you just put it in our hearts, Lord God, and let us not forget it ourselves, Father. That's why we are being free ourselves, and we want to have our bodies overflow with that knowledge, Lord God, and that and understanding, and just not be able to withhold ourselves by telling the world, Lord God, that they're the biggest discrimination that they have in their life is that they're enslaved to their own sin, Lord God. Help us with that, Father, and we just praise for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. It's good. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Jesus.
I wanted to bring up two words that seem like they contradict each other. Pastor mentioned equality. I also want to bring up submission. And they seem like they're polar opposites when you think about equality and being submissive to somebody. But I want to remind us of the divine nature of God in the Trinity. Jesus is one with the Father. They are equal, but Jesus is submitted to the Father. That same structure applies in marriage. The husband and the wife become one flesh, but the wife submits to the husband. The wife is not the husband. The husband is not the wife. Same thing within our church. We are the bride. We submit ourselves to Jesus. So I don't want us to walk away here being confused about maybe what the world defines as equality, because there is a divine structure that God has put into place that is visible in the triune nature of God. And that's how the world should see us. So Father, I pray for your order to be established in your house. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, brother. It's good. Lord, deliver us from our comfort zones. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As somebody has said, you came to comfort the afflicted, but also to afflict the comfortable, so that we move out of our comfort zones, our life of ease, which is really wrong. Restore in us a life of passion and mission and purpose. There's been a constant theme at the conclusion of all of our meetings recently, and that constant theme at the end of the meeting was, and still is, that we do not leave here in the same condition that we came in, but as we leave here, we take what God has done in us and minister it everywhere we go. And God, we ask you help us do that again today. give us a sense of being sent by you. Send us, Lord, into the world today. Send us to those who are in need that you want to touch. Send us to one another. Send us everywhere you want us to go. Show us where you want us to go and who you want us to talk with. How you want us to live when we leave here. What you want us to do. Please, Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, enjoy the rest of your weekend and Memorial Day tomorrow. We'll see you next Sunday.